We take the word of the Lord, the scriptures, and turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings in chapter 4. And this evening we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 1, this is the word of the Lord. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, Your maidservant has nothing in the house except the jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." And that is the word of the Lord to us. The short passage before us teaches that Yahweh, our God, is the help of the helpless and the nameless. Here this woman does not have a name, and she is helpless, and she is insignificant, just as we might say we are. In the first verse we see a description of the desperation of God's people. Here is a woman who is in double desperation. She's lost her husband by death, and as if that weren't enough, she is going to lose her sons because of an unpaid debt. She's a widow now, and her means of support in that culture, the means of support in what should be our culture as well, biblically, her means of support are her sons. But if they're taken into slavery, how will she be supported? And you can sense the aggravation with her, and if her husband was one in that evil time, as we've been searching the scriptures in the northern kingdom of Israel, her husband was a prophet, a son of a prophet who, in an evil time, feared Yahweh. And we see her faith. For who is she crying out to? She's crying out to the prophet of Yahweh. She's crying out to Yahweh. And with her, there is no speculation. She lays all the facts before the prophet, before Yahweh, and she doesn't suggest a solution. She leaves that up to the Lord. She's in trouble, and she believes. I notice also the difference in how Elisha responded to her compared to the last chapter when he responded to Jehoram and the two other kings. Both had need. One from the saving of Moab and the king there and the people who were attacking Israel. And here this woman has a need to survive. Both had need to survive. In verse 2, he is almost, you see, Elisha is almost excited and eager to help her. But with the kings, back in the last chapter, he only helped Jehoram because of Jehoshaphat. If it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, he wouldn't have been there and he wouldn't have talked to Jehoram at all. And that shows that this woman here in chapter 4 has access to Yahweh. And so whereas at some point you may be in desperate situations yourselves, remember what you have. If you are in Christ, you have the privilege and access and you can bring your troubles to God. Just as this woman does. In verses 2 through 6, we also see God's typical tendencies. Verse 2, we see where God begins. Often, He begins with things that are very little or small or insignificant. And here, the Lord has already given to her a home. And yet, really, physically, the picture is pretty bleak because she doesn't really have anything in her house to perhaps sell so that she can pay off the debt. She only has a little bit of oil. And this might be similar to the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus asking the people what they had, or disciples what they have, and they have a few loaves, just a few loaves and two fish. How could a few loaves and two fish feed all of this people? And how could this little bit of oil pay all this debt? And here Yahweh, through Elisha, has the woman go into her home, let no one see. And she pours the oil into these many borrowed containers. A miracle basically happens. And why conceal this? The Lord says, go into your home, shut the door behind you so that no one can see. And the answer is often that God's mighty acts are not to be on display always for all to see. Sometimes the Lord conceals His great acts. And He also stimulates us to obedience. We also see that here. The answer to her problem came. Yahweh worked a miracle, and she acted. He builds her faith up here so that it becomes visible. There's an outworking of her faith in her life. And so the Lord often begins with the small things, the insignificant things, and brings about great things, of which, though He concealed it at that time, He has revealed it to all His people now. And then we also see His tendency of this overflowing kindness. Verse 7. Yahweh's response is, go, sell, and live. He gives more than enough to pay off the debt so that they can live on it afterwards. And Yahweh often does more than we desire and more than what we would expect. And so 7 verses are given to this nameless woman. And that itself shows that Yahweh is just as much the Lord over and the God of the insignificant and nameless as we are. Just as much as other great names, remember in the Scriptures, are even given less than 7 verses in the Scriptures. Here this woman is given 7. So remember that in times of desperation, and you have a great God, Yahweh, who considers the insignificant, gives more than what we need and what we expect when you ask of Him according to His will. And that's what we learn here. And so we ought to pray more often to Him according to His will. He would give us what we need, but even more than that. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for answering our prayers. You're the God who, when we pray according to Your will, and we pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven by which we must be saved, the only name in which You will hear prayers, that You answer and You hear us, and then You answer us according to Your will. And we thank You that You have given us Your Son. We thank You that You have given us one another in the church, and that You are the head of the church, and You are the bridegroom, and we are the bride. We thank You for that picture that causes us in our marriages to look to that relationship and give great thankfulness that we are imaging that relationship between Christ and the church. We ask that we would submit to You in all things, just as the church is called to do. Father, we have sinned. We have fallen short of Your glory. We have broken the 10 commandments. We've broken all the commandments. So, Father, we ask this day, as You have given us of Your Son, You sent Him into the world for us, that You would forgive us, turn us from our sin, heal our souls, cleanse us of that remaining sin, cause us to put it to death by Your Spirit, and work in us great things. Not so that we could be given glory, but that your Son would be given all glory. The gospel would go forward and it would go to all nations, and your elect would believe, even from amongst our congregation here. Father, this day we do call upon you as she was dealing with physical things that were a struggle for her. She had lost her husband, so the loneliness and now the thought of losing her sons because of an unpaid debt, and you took care of all these things. You were present with her. And you are present with us. You are the cure of loneliness. And you were the God who provided and paid off the debt and gave the sons, in a sense, back to her. Father, we ask that you would provide for us. As you are our King, protect us and provide. Grant us able bodies to serve you. We do not ask for perfect bodies in this life, because we know that we are not to have perfect bodies. And yet even those bodies which are struggling and through difficulty of strength and ability and immune system and all these things, Father, we ask that you would strengthen us enough to do the work that you have laid before us to do. To be faithful servants, not grumbling or complaining in what you've given, but being thankful in all things. And so, Father, we thank you for your good providences, even though often in our sin we think they are bad providences. Lord, forgive us of our sin. Point us to your Son. Even as we in our hearts may be troubled, as the disciples were, as we will consider this evening, Lord, point us to your Son. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.